Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, May 30, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and the Radio Tab Network. And what a pleasure it is to be in South Australia, in Adelaide, at Harvest Hotels venue, the Aussie Inn in Hackham, about 25, 26 k's south of the Central Business District in Adelaide. Fantastic venue here. You know you're in Adelaide when you see an Esky, a West End Esky. Sitting on the bar over there, the local drop here around Adelaide and Lozza. It is almost 26 years to the day that you led a Canberra Raiders side into Adelaide to take on the Adelaide Rams, featuring the likes of Royston Lightning in your team, David Boyle, Andrew McFadden, Luke DeVico. And you won 34-18, by the way, mate. Morning to you.
Yeah, morning, everyone. Brings back great memories, taking on the Adelaide Rams. They were only around for a short period of time, but really enjoyed the time when we used to come across here and play our football. Obviously, never got to experience the state of origin here. But, yeah, now, great days. But we're all looking forward to the origin tomorrow. Some late news for New South Wales with the withdrawal of Latrell Mitchell yesterday morning when we got off air. Big blow for the New South Wales Blues. But one of the best things about his withdrawal is the fact that Stephen Crichton has been there all week, and he's got that combination with the Panthers. He played in all three Origin games last year, so it'll be a seamless transition for New South Wales when he goes into that team. But, yeah, everyone's excited. A bit of vibe around Adelaide. The weather is not as cold as I thought it would be. We're at a great establishment here at the Aussie Inn. Really looking forward to doing the show here, and obviously there's a luncheon here today at 12:30, and no doubt there'll be plenty of people here. We might even get the Bulldog Richie up to ask him a few questions to see how he's feeling, see how he handled his co-hosting role this morning on the BSB. And Jono gave him a very, very warm welcome to the show.
Very warm welcome. Off the bench, very late. Clarkie had to cancel his flight, but we expect him to be here today. For tomorrow and Thursday's show. He's just trying to sort all that out. So at very late notice, Lozza just put the ball out in front of Bulldog and he ran hard and scored in the corner.
No, he ran soft.
Morning, Bulldog.
Yeah, good morning.
We appreciate
finally,
it,
I get bored into this conversation. I've been sitting here for 20 minutes while Laurie's been wax lyrical about life in Adelaide. But it is great to be here. We flew in yesterday. I had a walk around Rundle Mall last night. There's Origin photos up, there's ticket booths, there's a big platform in the middle where I think Freddie and James Tedesco will do some media today. So there's a nice vibe around town. I don't think they'll sell the game out, but there'll still be a ripping crowd there. It'll be a great atmosphere. And I think you know, Adelaide's alive at the moment with State of Origin fever.
How big a loss is Latrell Mitchell for New South Wales?
Oh, huge loss. He'd be the top three players in the game, Laurie. I sometimes think Latrell's the number one player in the game, to be truthful. But as you say, that Penrith left edge, it's just very comfortable. Crichton played three games last year. I think he was off the bench in game one, started in games two and three. So in terms of disruption, not a lot. But an incredible rise to Stephen Crichton. Don't forget, he was originally snubbed from the side when it was picked. So he said to himself, I'll have to go back and get better. Next minute, he's in as 18th man because Campbell Graham goes out. And then a few days later, boom. He's in the starting side.
Yeah, as much as it is a disruption losing Latrell, the fact that Crichton has been a part of Penrith's amazing run over the last 3 years, he's played in three consecutive grand finals, he's won big games, he slips straight into that left edge of New South Wales, which is predominantly all Penrith, so he'll feel comfortable. So there's not a big issue in terms of how they will play. He likes to link with Luai, and Isaiah Yeo plays down that side of the field as well with Nathan Cleary. So I think with the football, they'll just work the same structures as that they do at Penrith. The big one for mine will be defence. And because he defends with those guys so well, it's not that you're putting someone from a different system in that team and it's going to take them time to work out what other players like to do. He'll just fit in seamlessly. And I think while it's a blow to lose Latrell, I don't think it'll be that bad.
Interesting about Latrell was his decision to pull out. Freddie said to him, if you're not feeling comfortable in your own body, then withdraw. He called a team meeting in Sydney before they left yesterday and told of his heartbreak that he was pulling out. It's only a grade one strain, so it's nothing serious. He will be available for game two, perhaps even South on the weekend, Loz. But Luttrell obviously felt that he couldn't get through an Origin game, and Freddie described that decision as selfless.
Well, I think what you tend to do as you get older, you know your body, and you know what pressure and you can put it under. And Luttrell, a couple of years ago with his hamstring, you know, he had significant injuries with that hamstring, and at one stage there, he was out for a long period of time. And I reckon now, as you understand your body, you start to get little niggles. You know that the impact it can have if you do further damage. So I reckon in the back of his mind, he's thinking, geez, I've got a little bit of an injury here. Mm. I possibly could play, but if I tear my calf, I could be out for 6 to 8 weeks. And I don't want to really do that.
Jake Trbojevic the other day.
Jake coming back, exactly right. So, and they're difficult injuries to overcome. Those soft tissue injuries. So I think he's made the right call. It's a brave call because a lot of people would have wanted to play. But I think the fact that he's had issues with his body before with hamstring and calf, that he's made that decision based on long-term rather than the short-term of going out there and playing and trying to win.
Because the New South Wales camp told us yesterday, Loz, it might have been all right by Wednesday night, but just taking that risk with an outside back was just too much.
That's exactly right. And you've got a guy like Stephen Crichton who can just fit straight in. Mm. As I said before, you know, he played in all those games last year. He's played in all the big games that Penrith have won over the last 3 years. He's a try scorer, and he won't be overawed at all.
What about Crichton's inclusion? If you add up the current and former Penrith players in the side, the extended squad, there's actually 9. It's just extraordinary, isn't it? Mm. I mean, I'm throwing in Tevita Pendlebury, which is a little bit loose.
That reflects their dominance of the last 3 years, though.
Of course it does, yeah. Loz. But you throw in there Burton, Liam Martin, Appy Corrissau, Crichton, Luai, To'o, Yeo. The list just goes on and on. But 9 players have come through that system are in that Blues squad. Even in the great Raiders days, 9 was still an extraordinary number.
I think it's a massive number. And you look back on the Broncos, who would have been represented or had players from both states. I remember Chris Johns, Glenn Lazarus were playing for the Broncos and playing for New South Wales. Plus, they had all those other stars. They would have had 9 or 10, I suppose. But, it's an amazing achievement by Penrith, the way that they've been able to identify those players, have them come through the system, and now go on and represent New South Wales, albeit the salary cap has played a part the last couple of years because some of those players have had to move on. They'll all feel comfortable in that environment, and that might be an advantage that New South Wales have tomorrow night. The fact that they've all played together in big games, won big games together, and in a short space of time coming together to try and bring the best out in each other. They feel confident that they can do that.
Market really tightened up with Tab yesterday off the back of the Luttrell Mitchell news. So Queensland went from $2.25 into $2, just back to $2.05. New South Wales, $1.67 out to $1.85, then back into $1.80. So that's how it stands. Queensland, $2.05, New South Wales, $1.80. And that line tightened up a point, went from 2.5 to 1.5. Queensland, the plus. Think the money's starting to tighten up. Jared Daffy will be on in about half an hour's time to tell us what's going on with the latest money split for Origin 1. But, I think now that New South Wales have got to that price in particular, I'd expect punters now to come for New South Wales, even though Luttrell's out.
Yeah, I don't know which way the market will trend. What I do know, in my mind, I've got New South Wales favourites. But as I've said all the way along, I don't think there should be that big a difference between the price of the two teams because State of Origin is a 50-50 call. $2.25 were just ridiculous odds, I thought, for Queensland because I thought they should have been a lot tighter than that. New South Wales are now out to $1.80. I can see people reacting to that and backing New South Wales. But whatever Queensland are over $2, I still expect punters to keep coming for them.
Individually, do you think the Queensland players are more in form than New South Wales?
No, not necessarily, no. I think there's been a lot of talk about that, and a lot of their performances this season have been good. But one thing I do know, James Tedesco has never let New South Wales down before. There's been question marks about his form. I don't really give a rat's what he's done for New South, what he's done for the Roosters this year. I would have picked him because I think he's just a big game player. Tommy T. You know, we sit here talking about his performances, and when we looked at the Dally M leaderboard, he's running 11th, and everyone's talking about how poor of year he's had by his own standards. He's running 11th on the Dally M leaderboard now that it's gone behind closed doors. And last weekend, he scored a hat-trick against the Canberra Raiders. So it doesn't worry me, Tom, not having been at his best, because I know he can in this arena. Nathan Cleary, I think his best footy still to come. You know, Addo Carr's one game back from injury. So I think New South Wales, while you can question some of their players' performances individually this season, I reckon when they come into this environment, they'll grow another leg.
Loz has already had more costume changes than a Kylie Minogue film clip. What's
Laurie,
going
what
on?
Are you doing?
I'm getting changed.
Why?
Well, I rubbed up too much.
Why are your shoes off?
Well, because I've got tracksuit bottoms on, I've got a top on, and I've had skivvies on because I thought it'd be cold. And I've walked into the Aussie Inn, and I just feel warm. I'm starting to sweat. So I've just taken all my jumpers off. I've taken my tracksuit bottoms off. I've got shorts underneath, and I'm ready to go.
Are you comfortable now?
I am comfortable.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yep.
Beautiful.
We want you comfy, mate.
I'm up and about then.
You are up and about today.
Jeez. Front and back page of the paper, Origin. The Telegraph, Crichton's coming in hot. There he is with Josh Addo-Carr. Front page with Latrell Mitchell obviously out in the back page. Bulldog story here, centre link call. Snub Panther answers New South Wales SOS, as we've discussed. Rhythm and Blues on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald. And there's the Penrith connection there in To'o Crichton and Jerome Luai. Latrell's tears as Fittler turns to Panther power. Also on the back page of the Herald. And the Australian outsider steps up to replace Mitchell. The other issue for New South Wales, so Nathan Cleary has a tooth infection, a wisdom tooth, apparently. Nico Hines on standby to play in the halves. But listening to 100% footy on last night with Nine, Phil Gould was saying there was actually quite a bit of urgency about Brad Fittler yesterday when he called him. He said, no, we want him on this flight, not the later flight, because he wants him to have a run, because Nathan's in some doubt. Surely not. On face value, that he won't, that he'll be. Well, I saw him about 10 meters in front of me at the airport yesterday.
He looked all right.
He looked absolutely fine.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
Had the cans on, listening to some tunes. Looked all right to me.
Nathan walked past the media and said, "I'm all good." And then when we did ask Freddie, he just said, "Look, he's got a toothache, so I think he'll play." It's a thing called a mouth guard, isn't there? You chuck it in and you get out there and play.
I think he'll be okay, Dean. I think he'll be okay.
Laurie, I want to ask you this: some people out there. Still don't think Nathan Cleary has owned State of Origin. I probably disagree with that. What's your thoughts?
What has he been owned?
Well, has he got to the level where he is a dominant figure at the elite level of Origin? He's done everything at club level. He still won a couple of series at Origin level, in my opinion, and he has excelled. Are the critics...
Look, you're trying to compare him.
Well,
yeah, it is unfair because you're trying to compare him to Andrew Johns and Jonathan Thurston and these type of guys. He's a totally different player. He's been very good for New South Wales. Owning Origin Series, I think he's won, what, two or three Man of the Match awards. He's a guy that fits well into the system. He makes others around him look good. He defends well. He's strong kicking game. He's now learning the subtleties of the game, and his best footy is still in front of him. So, look, I think Nathan Cleary cannot do too much more. Again, I hear Joey talking about how he possibly could be the greatest ever halfback. I still think he's got a long way to go to be in the same class as Johns and Thurston, by the way. I don't put him in that class, but I think he's done very well at this stage of his career. And I think he's on that trajectory of being a very, very elite player. And I think all he's done at the moment is continue to improve year on year, and that's all you want from a player.
Back. Go for it.
Sorry, but I was just going to say, seems to cop a bit of stick, Nathan. I can't work out where it comes from or why. He is playing in the social media era where the Andrew Johns and the Jonathan Thurston didn't have to front up to that vile criticism which we see floating around on social media. So I just don't know where it comes from. I don't know what more Nathan Cleary can do to appease the critics who seem to queue up every year.
Put it this way. If Nathan, all players were available for selection, if you had an open checkbook, he would be, what, in the top three players that you're going after, possibly top two. And I reckon probably 50% of people would have him as number one. Halfbacks are so hard to get, and he's an elite player. He's an elite number seven, the best number seven in the game. He's done it at a young age, and he'll continue to get better. So judge him at the end of his career rather than sitting back judging him and comparing him to Johns and Thurston now.
He's still 25.
Yeah. So he's got you know, a massive, massive future still to come. His best football is in front of him.
I think there's a bit of resentment toward Penrith as a club, perhaps because of their success. How they celebrate grand final victories. So I think maybe Nathan gets swept up in that hysteria around the Panthers themselves.
Yeah, and that could be the case. But all you want to see is for Nathan just to continue the way he's going and then judge him when he's 30, 31, at the end of his career, rather than sort of judging him halfway through it. Because his development from where he started to now has been exceptional. And who knows where it'll end up.
Back page of the Courier Mail, fire up Flegler. New Maroons enforcer told to bash Blues. I'll tell you what, late drama obviously in the New South Wales camp, been pretty smooth sailing for Queensland, hasn't it? When you compare it to Game 3 last year with, I think, Cameron Munster and Murray Taulingi, will wait late withdrawals with COVID.
Do you reckon Bulldog media outlets have a lot to do, more so than the coaches, in terms of the build-up to Origin about firing up and we're going to bash them and all that type of stuff? I think it's a game where you've got to be combative, but the old days of swinging arms and fighting and doing all sorts of things that you possibly get away with in Origin that you couldn't at Clubland, that's all gone, isn't it?
I interviewed Graeme Annesley yesterday, the head of elite football competitions at NRL, and he stressed, Laurie, the misconception out there, which we all contribute to every year, of saying you can get away with more in State of Origin. It's just plain wrong. It will be refereed to the same standards as every NRL game, and any foul play or any deliberate indiscretions, and you will see yourself charged. So those days are gone. We love those days because we're old school, Loz, but they're gone.
But all I'm sort of worried about is that the players can get swept up in all this talk. And a bloke like Tevita Pengai Jr. or Tom Flegler, who's on the back page up there with the Courier Mail, talking about, we're going to go out there and, you know, fight fire with fire, and we're going to be aggressive. If they take it too far,
that's
they
the media's job, Laurie.
Or, you know, get sin bin, they let their stake down and they miss club football. There's a fine line for me.
There is. That's the media's job, though, to build up these games. That's what we do.
Mate, 100%.
And that's up to the player, and it's on the coach to pull his players into line. I don't think you can blame the media. Tevita Pengai knows the rules. If he does something silly, I can't blame the media for that. He's got to pull his
head in. No. I'm not blaming
the
media.
And the same with Flegler up there in Brisbane.
Yeah, because we're part of the media. I'm a paid-up member.
You are. We welcome you into our media.
Some of your texts, 0419 767 272 is the text line. Oh, stop it. Queensland are laughing. Nathan Cleary has a toothache. That'll do me, lads. Good luck tomorrow night. Munster will eat him for breakfast, says Queenslander Dave. Fair dinkum, lads. Both Freddie and Brandy should have just picked the entire Penrith side to take on Queensland. Not happy, says Dino from the Gong. Toothache, ha-ha, a smokescreen. What else have we got here? When I heard about Latrell, I immediately thought that he actually doesn't want to or have a passion playing for the Blues. Thought, says the Spaniard. I think you're very off there, the Spaniard.
I think he just knows his body so well. And the fact that he's had those soft tissue injuries before, in particular with his hamstring, and he missed a lot of football, you know, if you really tear your calf or your hammy, you're out for a long period of time. And he didn't want to run the risk of putting his team under pressure, you know, umming and ahhing about whether to play, pull out in the morning of the game, and then let New South Wales down. He's decided to make the decision earlier rather than later.
Hey, boys, Mitchell running scared from the hammer, says Gundy Gooner. Alex Demonor's won his first round match against his Belarusian opponent at the French Open in 2 hours and 45 minutes and 4 sets. So a good start. Chris O'Connell has gone down in three sets. Just some of the results from the opening round action there this morning. Carlos Alcaraz, the top seed, has won in straight sets. Novak Djokovic has won in straight sets as well. 13:53:53 is the number, and the great Dean Bulldog Richie joining us this morning. Pup should be here later today. Had an issue, well, had to cancel his flight last night to deal with the daughter, so he should be here later today. But at very late notice, Dean Bulldog Richie took a great flat pass from L. Daly.
He's always working, Dean. He's always working.
He's got late about call 14 up. Stories in the paper.
Yeah,
today.
Late call up on the bench.
The hospital pass.
Straight in. Got up early this morning to join us. That's what I like about you, Dean. You're a team player. You're a bits and pieces player. You'll fill in wherever. You've done that job magnificently.
I did sit next to Laurie on the plane yesterday. He started talking. And I thought, how am I going to get out of this one? So I did the old, you know, when you pretend you're asleep. And I even sort of did a bit of a twitch just to sort of prove that I was asleep, even though I wasn't. One eye open.
I tell you what I did do. I sat in the wrong seat.
Yeah, my seat. So he sits in my seat, so I sit in his seat, and I get stuck with the woman next to me who wanted to talk all the way. It should have been him. I thought, he's got me again, this bloke.
He
just
after
gets
the flight,
me every time.
After the flight, he comes and goes to me, mate, you're kidding. She didn't shut up.
So I'm asleep on the plane. I'm asleep on the plane. And she starts grabbing my arm. And I was being quite polite to show me that there were clouds. I feel like saying, lady.
First flight.
There's clouds everywhere when you get on a plane. And I'm thinking, and there's bug lugs sleeping blissfully up.
Bloke who sat next to me didn't say a word.
Yeah. He did well again.
It was good. He had a sleep.
You're snooking me every day of my life, you do.
Well, I didn't realise I jumped into your seat. I was talking.
Do you ever look at the boarding pass and see the number and the actual letter next to it? That's where you're supposed to sit.
Well, I had a suit jacket with me. I had to tuck that away nicely.
So I'm watching him put the jacket right. So he pulls his jacket out. He pulls it long to keep the creases out. And he folds it nicely and then just shoves it to the top like it was an old rag. I said, mate, what are you doing?
We didn't have much room to work with.
Yeah.
So I just had to fit it in. Yeah. I stuffed it right in.
Did you solve your hotel issue last night? I got a frantic phone call from Lois after dinner. He couldn't figure out how to turn the light off behind the TV.
There's a light behind the TV. Did you notice that? I turned every light off, turned the TV off, but there was still light coming from under the TV.
So I must rang... admit, that would have bugged me too.
Oh, so mate, I was filthy. Do? Well, I rang Mido to start with.
Why would you ring concierge? Mido, no, Mido, what's he going to do?
Well, Mido ended up telling me, he goes, mate, ring the concierge. So I ran the concierge. Housekeeping had to come up, and she just flicked off the switch near the bed.
It's always embarrassing.
Oh, it is. I had to apologise. I said, sorry.
Can I ask why he rang Paul Mido first?
Oh, he was asleep.
He had about 2 hours all night.
Well, I tried to close my eyes on the plane yesterday. He goes, are you sleeping, Mido? Like, what a pest.
A professional.
Like, just pest. I wasn't going to allow him to sleep when I wasn't sleeping.
Oh, dear. We've got a multi open for Origin 1, folks. And it'll suit, I'm sure, supporters of both states as well. Was you came up with this, didn't you?
I did. Well, I want people to be involved, all right? So you can back either team to win by 8 points or less, all right?
Like it.
So
we expect it to be tight.
So we expect it to be tight. So you don't have to be you can be a New South Wales or a Queensland supporter, doesn't matter. Either team to win by 8 or less into Tommy Trbojevic to score a try in the opening, the first 70 minutes.
$9.
$9.
Okay, it's in where Loz's multi usually is. Tab app, tab website. Click on sport and today's offers. You'll see it there under sports offers. Either team to win between 1 and 8 points. Tommy Turbo to score in the first 70 minutes of the match tomorrow night at Adelaide Oval. And by the way, later this morning, we've got the great Turbo on the show. He's got a great try-scoring record in Origin as well. 9 tries in 8 Origins. His record in Origin, with New South Wales, 1-6, lost 2. So that's the impact that Tommy has just by being out of the field.
Well, you look at the impact he had or has on Manly. Every time he plays for Manly, they tend to win. And I don't know, there's something about Tommy, and we saw him at the airport yesterday. We had a bit of a yarn to him. He just looks really... comfortable being back in the team, and he was happy, he's excited, and I think he's ready to produce his best football.
When you picked your origin sides, Loz, when you were coaching, did you primarily look at form or what and who was an origin player? Oh, or was there some sort of balance there, obviously? But you said to me before that players might not be in the best form. Yep. But you know they will get the job done at that level.
Depends who they were and depends what their history was.
Well, Turbo's a case.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Turbo, to me, I'd pick him every day of the week. As long as he was fit, going okay. James Tedesco's another one. You're basing it off what they did for you in the past. You know, Tedesco's always been in the top five players for New South Wales. So with a track record like that, you'd suggest that he'll aim up again. And his form at Clubland is not as good as we expect it to be, but that wouldn't worry me at that level because I think he's the kind of bloke that will just rise. So again, it just comes down to the background of the player, what he's done for you in the past. Sometimes there's players that are just playing too well that you can't overlook. And behind that player, there's not someone that's been a superstar for New South Wales in the past. So you go, well, that's quite an easy decision because there's no one underneath him really applying that pressure that's been there previously. So I'll give this guy an opportunity.
Some suggest that you don't pick an origin side based on the previous 6-7 weeks. It's what they've done over 2 years to prove that you can play at an elite level.
Yeah, I think there's
in a
merit
sustained
to that too.
Way.
I think there's merit to that. You know, because you can have someone that plays well for 6 or 7 games, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to go out there and brain it state of origin time. You don't get a lot of time and space in origin. You've got to be able to compete. That's one thing you're looking for, is the players that compete on every play. And if you've got that, at times, the skill level at origin, it's all about competing. It's not about the skill. It's about how you're going to outwork your opponent. And if you can go harder than him, longer than him, you're hoping eventually that you'll get over the top of him.
Huge show today. So Jared Duffy from the Tab coming up to tell us the latest money situation for Origin 1. Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Clint Gutherson, the Eels co-captain. They got the bye this week. Para. Gee, they've got some winnable games coming up. All of a sudden, they could be back in the hunt this year, the Eels, if they can go on a run after their bye. Phil Moss, and we'll go through the final day drama in the Premier League and start to look ahead to the A-League Grand Final this weekend as well between Melbourne City and the Central Coast Mariners. Brad Davidson, Brittany Graham from Sky Racing, Harness reporter, of course, to give us, and Harness host, to give us some information on the Tab Eureka. There's an announcement later this morning, the inaugural slot race, which isn't too far away. Denny Weidler from Nine News, as I mentioned, Tommy Trbojevic, and the great Paul Sirenin is going to join us as well. And Ciro will be here at the Aussie Inn for lunch later today. Lozzy, you'll have the job of talking to Ciro and your other great mate Alfie as well here at the Aussie Inn in Hackham.
Looking forward to that, Mido. It should be a great afternoon. Obviously, Ciro, one of the legends of New South Wales, and what a player he was, the Buttocks, Paul Sirenin. Massive, massive player for New South Wales. I think I've said on this program before, when I came into Origin in that period of 92 to 95, mate, the forward pack was as big as you've ever seen. Like, there was Lazarus, there was Sirenin, there was Ian Roberts, there was Chief. Spud would have been a part of it there at some point in time. There's Bradley Clyde, Johnny Cartwright, Mark Geyer. Mate, there were just massive units.
Bozo always loved big packs at test level too.
Yeah, Blocker was another one. Mate, it was just unbelievable, the size.
Do you think the size in rugby league, Laurie, has not decreased physically, but do you think the game is now more mobile?
Yes.
And you can't carry big blokes who have no lateral movement, perhaps, like the old days?
Most definitely, yeah. You need to have that lateral movement. You need to be able to cover the space between you and the next person defending. You need to be able to play longer minutes. You need to be able to if you haven't had possession of the football, you need to be able to keep pushing in defence and making sure that you just keep tying in, moving forward with good speed. You know, they always talk about speed of the line, moving forward. And if you've got no aerobic capacity to do that, then you'll find yourself out of the game pretty quickly because the game is so fast and you can't afford to carry too many big guys if they haven't got big motors. You look at a guy like Payne Haas, he can just motor through. He gets things done and he doesn't look like he's feeling the pressure or struggling to keep up with the speed of the game after 15, 20 minutes. And if you've got a big guy on your team like that, it's such an advantage.
Rugby league asks a lot of big blokes. So we want size. We also want you to be able to have some speed. We want you to have power. We want you to have some ball skills if you can. Mm. And we want you to have lateral movement. We are asking a lot of our athletes.
Yeah, we do. We put a lot of pressure on them. But you got to remember too, a lot of these players, before they get to that first grade level, have had the schooling and the grounding and of the skills, but also the physical component, because they're in these programs from 13 years of age now. You know, most clubs, elite clubs, are identifying Bulldog Richie at 12, 13. They get them, they take them, they put them into the program. So they teach them about nutrition. They teach them about weights. They teach them about running. They teach them a lot of skills. They teach them all the things that are required for when you get to the elite level. So you're better prepared now because you've had that 5 or 6 years training than what you ever were in the past. Because in the past, at 16, 17, you were getting identified, and then it'd take you a couple of years to adjust and, you know, get all that fitness under your belt and get the strength that was required and then work on the skills that you needed. But today's game, they're so well-versed in having them ready to go at 19, 20 years of age. If they've got size, they've got motors, and they've got a huge work rate.
Jared Duffy from the Tab, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Jared.
Okay, this Origin market certainly moved yesterday with the news about Latrell Mitchell. I'm interested particularly in the money split now, Duff.
Well, it's certainly closed up as we suggested last week. Now, right now, the market is Queensland 205, New South Wales $1.80, a smallish line there of 1.5 points in favour of the Blues, Jared. But the breakup, if you recall, last Tuesday was 90-10 in favour of Queensland, when it's now 55, Queensland 45, New South Wales. So, as we expected, the bigger money that comes in late would be for the Blues, and that's the case. So, not a terrible lot between the two sides now, but as you would expect, a monstrous betting game.
It is. Did you think the market would react like that with Latrell pulling out?
I thought it might have got shorter, Loz, but I suppose when you listen to the experts later in the day and last night saying some are arguing that New South Wales might be better off with that Penrith factor there. So I think that's kept them pretty buoyant in the market. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next 24 hours, but Queensland's still outsiders, and as we know, they love that.
Who do they like for first try scorer?
That's a pretty wide-open event. Josh Adokar is the favourite at $9, so he's the shortest way. The shortest of the Maroons is Selwyn Cobbo at $11. The breakdown of money is interesting. Tommy Turbo, who's a $19 pop, he's attracted 18% of the money. Val Holmes, 11%. Adokar only 8%. Reece Walsh, 7%. And Selwyn Cobbo, $6. So bearing in mind what that multi is, I like the sound of that. Both teams to win by 8 or less, and Tommy Turbo to score in the first 70 minutes, $9. So Money Trail says Tommy Turbo scores first try, so that means he scores.
And, of course, that's on Bet's Friends as well on the Tab app, where you can find the BSB multi.
Jared, player of the match market?
Dino, Nathan Cleary, the fave here at $5.50. Cam Munster, $6.50. James Tedesco, $7. Then Tommy Turbo, Harry Grant at 13, the rest of 15 or better. What about this? 38% of the money bet so far, and this is a big, big betting event in Origin each and every time it's played. 38% Payne Haas.
Jeez. Who 38%?
Who's a $15 pop. Then 25% for Nathan Cleary. We're used to numbers like that for the fave, particularly Cleary. And then it falls right away, 9%. Cameron Munster, but yeah, over 60% split up between those two New South Wales players, Cleary, and in particular Payne Haas, who's a $15 chance.
You're very professional and serious on the weekday show compared to the cheek and lip you give on Sundays. What is when you get the big boys, you don't like to sort of, you know,
this is
be
a
bit cheeky?
This is a worldwide audience today, Dean. We
have
listeners in all corners of the globe.
Yeah, I remember this on actually, Sunday when you bounce on there trying to be, you know.
Having said that, I'm a bit surprised you've got a start. But anyway, you're a try-hard.
I agree with you there, Daff. We you're picked him up at the airport yesterday.
You look offended.
No, I'm just wondering when...
You get there early enough, Dino? The game's not until Wednesday night. You just got to rock up with a pen and a bit of paper and write a few notes. Why are you there so early?
That's how you think it is, do you? That's how you think it is. How you let yourself down.
I'll tell you what, Daff, he was a typical journo yesterday. I was having a discussion with Brandy when I saw him at the airport.
And I walked up and said hello.
You walked up to ask him, could I get an interview?
I said
you
hello.
You said, g'day, Brandy, could I get an interview?
Yeah, well, you were in the way, actually. I pushed you out of the way to get to Brandy.
See, this is where you let yourself down, Dean. You forever, and I've known you for 30 years, and that's what you do. You kind of push your way into a conversation thinking, oh, there'll be a scoop here.
Yes.
What was the scoop?
I hate to tell you this, but you know that's my job. I actually get paid to do
but
that.
But the way you were trying to be sincere is as if
I've
you were...
I've known Brandy 35
years. It was just like you were trying to have a conversation with him, and then it was like, and by the way, g'day, Brandy.
So they
how
dismissed
are you,
you
mate?
That's good. Yeah.
No, he gave me the interview. He's too smart for that. Well, it's good to see you, you know, giving him a bit of cheek on this show as well.
Let's talk some...
I speak the truth. AFL flag.
Yeah, well, we are in South Australia, Daff, and the side's going very well here at the moment, but, what about Carlton? I mean, now that you've got board members and presidents having issues in the SCG rooms after the loss last Friday night.
I had
Friday
a look last
night.
I'm a Blues supporter, right? Oh. But I've just about worn me out. But after round four, they had three wins and a draw that they should have won. They were $8 to win the competition. The way they're going, they're $8 to make the eight. On the back of some rather bizarre results at the weekend, Jared Collingwood just gets shorter and shorter, which is bad news for Tab. They're 325.
Yeah.
Brisbane at 5. Melbourne 6. Now, you speak of the two Adelaide sides. Port Adelaide, $7.04 favourites. And the Crows, who were 150-1 early in the season, they're into 21. So it's certainly opened up, but Collingwood look the goods at the moment. 325.
Huge game today in the NBA. Enormous. Boston and Miami... Teams 3-0 up are 150-0 in NBA playoff history. Yet today, Boston, pretty short to break that very unbelievable streak, Daff.
That was amazing the other day, wasn't it? That match the other day.
Drama.
Anyway, they're short, $1.34. Miami at $3.40, a line of 7.5 points. And all of a sudden now, the market to win the title... The Nuggets are $1.80. The Celtics are into $2.25 after having been $13 or $15 when they were down 3-0. And poor old Miami Heat, they're out to $14, I think. They fired all their bullets the other day. And it wouldn't be totally unexpected that they lose today, and that's what the market says. So that one gets underway at 10:30. 471 bet types open on that game today.
Lots going on at Roland Garros as well, opening round action this morning.
Yeah, we've currently got the two markets down to win it. We've just had the completion of the day's play. Jannik Sinner just defeated Muller, so the men's are done and dusted for the day. But prior to the market going down, Alcaraz was $2.50 and Novak Djokovic $3.20, Runa at $7. And as far as the women's are concerned, well, Swiatek was $1.80 in Sabalenka, six, Rybakina seven, and the rest were 21 or better. So those markets should be up in the next 40 or so minutes.
All right, I'll have to tune in on Sunday for gloves off, Mark II.
Ooh. Yeah, great segment there, Jared. A bit better than what you give us on a Sunday.
I get paid more spark. On the show.
Oh, you do. Yeah,
I told you it's got more listeners.
That's all right. We don't go on listeners. We go on what punter
content?
Wants. Yeah, we go on content.
Please.
We go on what the punter wants.
Well, what you've done is...
We're a down-to-earth show on Sunday.
And as I said the other day, Phil Rothfield filled in a couple of weeks ago, and for the life of me, I can't work out why they got you back and replaced him, because he's a gun. But
really?
But the quiz was the highlight of that show, and you've absolutely ruined it by cheating most weeks to try
There's
and beat
no
poor
cheating.
Old Ray Thomas,
you know
an icon
you know
of
that.
Australian turf,
you
and
know
here
that.
You are trying to carve him up.
Anyway, off you go.
Thank you, Dave.
A great segment.
See you, boys.
High drama in the IPL final this morning. Thank you to Mitch Robertson for reporting this out. The Super Kings needed 10 off 2 to win the IPL final. Jadeja hits a 6 and then a 4 off the last ball to win it. So that is the Chennai Super Kings who chased 171. Duckworth Lewis got involved here after the Gujarat Titans made 4 for 214. So clearly rain affected there in Ahmedabad. and needing 171 off 15 overs. That's the target that they got on the final ball.
Is that Donny's
team? Kings, that is Donny's team, Loz. Correct.
Last game.
He got a Golden Globe.
Yeah, right.
In his last match, but that was obviously trying to win the game very late. And then Ravi Jadeja, 15 off 6, wins the game, wins the final in the tournament. So drama galore there. And by the way, the Herald saying that Scott Boland's looking likely to play and not Josh Hazlewood for the World Test Championship final starting next Wednesday against India. Of course, at the Oval, we'll get Pup's reaction to that hopefully tomorrow. Now, James Anderson, Ollie Robinson ruled out of the Test against Ireland at Lord's starting Thursday, but Brendan McCullum adamant that they'll be sweet for the start of the Ashes.
Now, Bulldog, I know that you are a cricket tragic. How much are you looking forward to the Ashes and Australia? Where do you see them place going into this Ashes?
Well, let's get through the World Club Challenge, or the World Championship,
yep,
I should say. First up, I am surprised. Josh Hazlewood
hasn't played a lot of cricket.
But for me, he is an automatic selection. We've got a four bowling battery, so to speak, three quicks and the spinner. But Hazlewood doesn't seem to be guaranteed. Like, I would think he would be guaranteed.
I think it's Stark's off the back of injury, though, isn't it?
Obviously, Pat Cummins is in. But even now, I would have thought he'd be a walk-up start, but we're talking about Scott Boland. And don't get me wrong, Scott Boland, in English conditions, will do very, very well. But I just can't seem to work out why Hazlewood has become this non-guaranteed selection when he's a bowler of such quality.
Mm. Well, it's the fact he's played barely any tests in the last 2 years, really. And he's had side soreness. He had that Achilles injury at the end of the summer. And you get the feeling now as well, like you say, Hazlewood's quality. But if Boland plays the World Test Championship final, takes a bag full of wickets, what do the selectors do for the first Ashes Test? They might be backed into a corner and might have to go with Boland.
It's funny how we're playing India in the World Championship as a lead-up, albeit I don't want to trivialise the game against India. But you just said England is playing Ireland midder.
Yeah.
So it's hardly what you'd call a robust lead-up to an Ashes series.
They've got plenty of county cricket behind them,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Do you reckon the Indians will handle the Australian pace attack in England conditions?
Well, Clarkie was saying the other day, he's like, you know, we're talking about our preparation. Look at India's heading into this IPL, and that's it. I know a few of our players are coming off, like Cameron Green will be going straight into this series.
But their two best batsmen have been over there preparing, haven't they? Smith and Labuschagne.
Yeah, they'll be ready to rock. But, you know, Shubman Gill, who's scored a bucket load of runs in the IPL, he'll have to adjust. I mean, going from those dry wickets in India over to these English seamers facing our attack, it's going to be difficult for them.
What happens if Warner, hypothetically, and I hope it doesn't happen, fails in the World Championship? Is there a hard decision to be made before the first test?
No, he starts.
We definitely start him.
Yep, definitely start him. He's there, you pick him. And then if he struggles in the first two tests, I think they'll make a change.
So you give him three tests?
Well, I give him the first test, certainly. If he fails in the test championship and then fails in the first test of the Ashes, well, then you start having the conversation, I would think. Well, and you possibly give him the second one, but I don't know. But I reckon the conversation would start if he failed in the opening two games.
Well, the squad picked is for the World Test Championship final and the first two Ashes tests.
Yeah, but Marcus Harris is a part of that squad.
Sure. So I don't think you can drop him after one test in the Ashes.
Yeah.
He doesn't go well in England at the best of times. He was poor there 4 years ago, Warner. And I love Dave Warner, so please don't think it's a witch hunt to bring him down. It's not. 4 years ago, he struggled. He's now 4 years older, and the runs have dried up outside of that double century on Boxing Day. So, look, I do worry about David Warner, I've got to be honest. And obviously, Broad had his number last time in England. Jimmy Anderson's back again.
Look at Marcus Harris's test record.
Well, that's not great either.
No.
So no one's beating down the door to get Warner's spot.
Exactly.
I think I'd still have Warner over Marcus Harris.
Definitely. 100%. Definitely.
Every day of the week.
Tiger Marty, morning lads. Have a look at the result for Pinjarra Harness, race two yesterday. Saw the price of the winner flash up on the screen. Couldn't believe it. Don't think I've ever seen a higher price. $360.50 on the tote. True Aristocrat. Well done. Your shout, anyone who got that race to Pinjarra Harness yesterday. By the way, we didn't get to this, Loz, back page of the Sydney Morning Herald. Riding high, the Everest purse set the hit $20 million. $20 million, they're saying, Chris Roots, in this article.
What's first prize go to?
Well, I'm not sure, but it was $10 million when the race first started 6 years ago. So that's even, gee, reminds me of Sydney real estate, really. Doubling in less than a decade.
Well, it shows you the turnover on the race then. It's got to...
And they had to do a deal with the slot holders to probably increase their investment into the race as well. So
Tell me, or am I making this up, it's the highest turnover betting race? Or close to it?
No, Melbourne Cup still is.
So Melbourne Cup is. But then the Everest?
It is just a bit... In fact, I'm pretty confident a second now, as far as tab turnover is concerned.
Which is remarkable in a short space of time. Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. It's been obviously a marketing genius, hasn't it, and the way it's supported. So $20 million it's looking at. And we'll speak to Adam Pengilly shortly. And by the way, more prize money boosts announced by Racing New South Wales yesterday. $7 million to boost minimum group and listed prize money levels. Group 1's at least $750,000 now. Group 2's $300,000 minimum. Group 3's at least $250,000. Listed races at least $200,000. And Kementari retired by Godolphin yesterday. Lots of tees for punters over a big portion of its career, but always a bit of a punter's favourite as well.
Always had at least $5 on Special K every time it ran.
Won 8 of 49 starts and had a crack at stud and struggled, unfortunately. Yeah. Only got 6 mares in foal out of 54, so went back to the racetrack as a gelding. And, Godolphin has its own rehoming program, and it'll go into that now. But Special K, all done and dusted on the racetrack.
Where's your horse, Loz?
Injured. Injured, mate. So
a bit like you.
Yeah. Bad knees, yeah.
It's funny, but...
Anyway.
Same as the owner.
Well, another owner, Ryan Pappenhausen. Bad knees.
Some sort of weird synergy here between...
Can I ask you, Bulldog? I've known you for a long period of time, and I do classify you as a mate.
This is coming, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's the butter up again.
It's not the butter up.
It's the butter up.
I just want to know, because I've never asked you. Have you ever had a horse?
No, I didn't think so.
I'd
like to. You know what? Yeah. This is my dream retirement, and I won't bore you with this. I've got some mates who are in their mid-60s, and they own they've got a small share in multiple horses.
Yeah.
And when those horses run around the New South Wales tracks, my mates jump in the car, they go out there and have 3 days, they go out and play golf, they'll go to the pub on the Friday, they watch the race on the Saturday, they might go to a winery on the Sunday. To me, that's something I'd love to do in retirement, was get a couple of horses, not outlay tons of dough, but just enough to have an interest.
Excuse for a holiday.
Exactly, you know. And go to all these little lovely rural towns around New South Wales, up the coast, down the coast, inland.
Mm. You're not retiring on us yet, though.
Not just yet. But that would be my ideal retirement. Right. Call me a simple man.
I reckon you'd be a bloke that'll work till he's 70.
Absolutely not.
No?
No fear.
You're a tight ass.
That's why I don't have to work till I'm 70. I got some moolah, Lozza.
You'll work. You'll work.
I'm a worker.
You are a worker.
I'm a worker.
I can't see you retiring.
Well, what age do you want to retire? Another 3 or 4 years?
That'll do me.
Okay.
That'll do me. What are you looking around for?
Mate, Eli, mate. You've got more money than all of us put together.
I've got nothing.
You've got every coin minted
just
in Super
from Junie,
League.
Mate. Little just from battler Junie. From Junie.
You could buy Junie and Wagga little while you're at it.
Just doing my best, dude. Just doing my best.
You know what?
Do I dress like I've got money?
In 95, Newsom had said to me, you know what, Dean? You've done a good job this year. We're going to give you a pay rise. I said, oh, beautiful. Thanks very much.
When is this?
95. Super League breaks. Bugalugs picks up his $1 million for 6 games.
No pay rise.
There goes my pay rise. Mm. So he actually got my pay rise. You proud of that?
I'll buy you a beer later.
Oh, thanks.
Do you remember
the free lunch?
Do you remember this game at all, Loz? It was the 1st of June, 1997.
Give me a look.
You've walked into Adelaide Oval, played the Rams. You've won 34-18. Yourself, Ben Kennedy, Royston Lightning, Andrew McFadden, Kenny Nagus, Ruben Wickie, the try scorers. Michael Maguire's playing for the Rams that day. Playing on the wing, scored a try. Dean Skifaletti's their halfback. Kerrod Walters is their hooker. Alan Cairn, Kevin Campion, Cameron Blair in their forward pack, coached by Rod Reddy.
Well, a couple of my great mates in that Adelaide Rams side. Obviously, you've got Madge there, but Mark Corvo, Steve Stone was there. But the Raiders side, Royston Lightning, that's a blast from the past. Lukey DeVico, Pritis. To be honest with you, mate, can't remember. I can't remember too much about that game.
I did a piece in today's Telegraph just quoting Grant Mayer, the former Manly and West Tigers CEO, who's now the CEO of the South Australian Jockey Club, just pointing out the reasons why they should look at Adelaide as a potential 18th franchise. They haven't been mentioned. Perth seems to be waning. The Pacific, obviously, is being mentioned. Another team in Brisbane is being touted. But nothing about Adelaide. Look, I think it's probably long odds they'd come down here. But you look at the Adelaide Rams, the crowds weren't that bad for a split competition. Done hastily. If they were to do it right and build a rectangular stadium it could work.
Question without notice, and I don't expect it to be a strong competition, but do they have rugby league down here?
No. Oh, well, I'm assuming they've got a second or third tier competition running, but nothing. So I guess that would be the problem, Loz. If you wanted to start a junior competition,
no pathways.
It would take 10 years to get your first local junior. But that would be the same for Perth, and that would have been the same for Melbourne.
Yeah.
South Australia, if they were to push, should try to obviously copy the Melbourne Storm model, where if you can sort of buy a bit of early success and build on that.
But they were, I shouldn't say lucky Melbourne, the fact that the Super League and ARL had to come back together, there was a surplus of players, so they were able to get a lot of those Hunter Mariner players,
correct,
which had a really good season first up, the likes of Scott Hill, Kamali, those type of guys. And if you were to relocate or start up a new franchise without having the access to those type of players, you could struggle. So the Dolphins, I think, are perfectly placed after what they've done already because they've got that massive junior system. Like they've got a lot of good kids that'll come through that Dolphins system, the Dolphins Academy, and, you know, in 5 years' time, they'll be ready.
I agree with that, Loz. The only problem with that argument, in my eyes, would be, does that now preclude us going west at all because there's no junior system in place? Does that mean Perth will never get in, Adelaide?
Well, it depends what your focus is. If you want to make it a national game, then you look at the likes of Perth and Adelaide, what the AFL have done. You know, they've made their competition a national game. So they're now going to Tasmania. They've got two teams in South Australia here, they've got two teams in WA, they've got teams in Queensland, they've got two teams in New South Wales. Whereas I don't know what our focus is. I think that while we're strong on the eastern seaboard, do we look to continue just to grow the game where it's strong? And Queenslanders would make a case that they could definitely support another team. I think they could too.
Rams were around for 2 years. They won 13 of 42, so they weren't successful.
I mean, that's not too bad.
Again, it was a hastily put together side that was in the Super League competition because they wanted to expand. Yeah. If done properly and given 3 years to build up the corporates and build up your roster, I think they could do a good job.
Yeah. Well, that's what, seven? So you split it down the middle, 7-6. Like, to win six or seven games. In your first
2 years
is pretty good.
If golf's your game, get into Drummond Golf for Australia's biggest mid-year golf sale. You'll find great savings on golf equipment and clothing. Get tailor-made Rocket Balls soft 12-pack for just $17.95. Or Wilson Deep Red Max Clubs 12-piece package, save $300, now just $799. And Nike Air Zoom Victory Tour Golf Shoes, you can save $81.95 on those. They're now just $168 for those Nike Air Zoom Victory Tour Golf Shoes. Don't miss Australia's biggest mid-year golf sale on now at Drummond Golf, but only while stocks last. Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Has it stopped raining down there in Adelaide? I saw some vision yesterday. It looked pretty bleak.
It was overcast at times. Bulldog said he got a bit of bit of rain in Rundle Ball. Was it Bulldog? You got done at one point.
Yeah, it wasn't heavy. It was just that sort of drizzle, but it looked like it was set in. I heard it raining again last night. So it'll be a bit dewy tomorrow night,
yeah,
you would imagine.
It will be.
Forecast is good tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, though. It's not as cold as I thought it'd be. Because you step off the plane and you walk outside and a bit of drizzle around and overcast, but it wasn't that cold. It was still T-shirty weather.
It's all good.
So it should
it's
be good.
Comfortable.
It was comfortable, yeah.
Let's start with some footy, and you've written about the Jason Ryles Dragons situation, and it is edging closer, Adam.
Yeah, we're getting very close, Jared. So Jason Ryles' management and the Dragons have been locked in talks again yesterday. There's been a lot of consternation about the length of any potential deal. I think Jason Ryles' management initially asked for a five-year contract. I think the Dragons weren't completely comfortable with going to that length, but as I wrote yesterday afternoon, they've settled on a four-year deal at this stage. There's still a few things they need to work out in terms of the football department structure and some key support staff just around Jason Ryles, but it looks like it's going to be a four-year deal. They're hoping that gets settled in the next few days. I think his time at the Roosters clearly has come to an end. I think I was told yesterday, and I wrote yesterday, that the Roosters had a bit of a camp up on the Central Coast over the course of the weekend, and he didn't go. He was virtually just told to stay at home and concentrate on working on the Dragons deal. So I think all the roads are leading towards Jason Ryles taking over the Dragons. He'll be appointed at some stage this week officially if everything goes well. And probably a crucial thing for the Dragons too is, Jared, that he'll be able to start work there pretty much straight away. When I say that, not in terms of coaching the actual team, but getting in the front office there, do some work on reshaping that roster and getting the club and everything in order, and then take over the team obviously from November 1 when they start pre-season. So I'm not quite sure how the Dragons fans feel about it, but we're getting very close to having a new coach installed at some stage this week if everything goes to plan.
Where does that leave a guy like Ben Hunt then, do you think, Adam?
Yeah, he's got a big call to make, doesn't he, Laws? Obviously, that'll be one of the first points of business for Jason Ryles to look at Ben Hunt's future, probably speak to Ben Hunt if he wants to do that. The only way I can see Ben Hunt leaving the club is if it's driven by him. If he forces the issue and puts in a transfer request or wants to be released from his contract. Because I don't think there's any way at the moment the Dragons want to let him go. He's clearly been their best player for a number of years now. He's the heart and soul of that club. And yes, he's getting a little bit on in age, but he's still got another 2 years under his contract, which starts from next year. So I know there's other clubs that are monitoring the situation. Laws, it's quite clear to me that the Bulldogs are keeping an eye on it. They're not going to make any proactive approaches as it stands at the moment. But if Ben Hunt does become available, then watch out. They'll be right in the race. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating couple of months for the Dragons, in particular Ben Hunt as well.
Adam, I'm always surprised that they give untried coaches such long first-up deals. And that's not to suggest that Jason Ryles can't coach, but 4 years is a long time. The Bulldogs did it with Cameron Serraldo, five years. And these blokes are outstanding coaches. But when it's a first-up NRL contract, I'm surprised it's so long.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bulldog. It tends to be in the current landscape is that if you're the next sort of assistant coach off the production line and ready to go, you seem to wield so much power in those negotiations. And we saw
the club should hold the power, not the coach waiting.
I tend to agree. But we saw that with Cameron Serraldo last year, didn't we? Like, he was, you know, obviously had done an outstanding apprenticeship. He's going to be a great coach in time and probably already is one, to be honest. But you know, they'll talk about five-year deals straight away. The Tigers wanted to go there, if you remember correctly. The Bulldogs ended up going there with a five-year deal. And Jason Ryles has sort of been the, I suppose, the chosen one, hasn't he, for the last 6 months. And now he's got the opportunity to try and push as hard as he can to get some security. And I suppose in a lot of those negotiations, he can go to the Dragons and say, listen, I think I need a couple of years to really try and turn this club around. Can I get some security with a long-term deal? And if the Dragons really want him, well, they might have to go to those lengths to get him. And that's where it seems like it's landing at the moment.
Yeah, good on him if he can get it. But I'm of the understanding and the belief, like you two, it's a risk offering someone a 4 or 5 year deal when they're a rookie coach. But anyway,
you got 2 years, Loz, with a third.
Well, you get a third
based
year option.
On KPIs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Talking about KPIs, the Everest. I don't know whether too many people thought it would have the success that it has had, but another increase in prize money.
Yeah, I heard you boys chatting about it a few minutes ago. My colleague Chris Roots has written in the Herald today that slot holders have virtually been told that the prize money were going to $20 million this year, which is just, staggering, isn't it? Like when you consider where the race started. So obviously as part of that deal, the slot holders need to chip in a little bit more money as for the fee for their slot each year. There's talk that will go to $700,000 per slot holder per year. How the prize money breakdown is going to work, I'm not 100% sure yet. Obviously, there'll be some increases all across the board, but they'll try and probably prop up as much as the second half of the field, those positions 7th through 12th. to try and, I suppose, cover the losses for a lot of those slot holders, our forces that don't run in the first half of the field. So, yeah, I think Racing New South Wales have been quite, I suppose, public in saying they want to increase the prize money for this race up to $20 million. It looks like they're going to get there in 2023.
I reckon other racing clubs and other states look at New South Wales and just go, wow.
Yeah.
Why can't we be like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very healthy jurisdiction at the moment, New South Wales racing, no doubt about that. Kevin Tari, a horse we've all fallen into and loved and loved to not love at times, all over as far as its racing career is concerned.
Yeah, the cult hero, Jared. I was a little bit sad when the news came through yesterday afternoon that he'd run his final race, and geez, what a roller coaster of a career he's had. We remember him as a three-year-old winning that Randwick Guineas. We all thought he's the best thing since sliced bread on when he came on the scene and as a three-year-old, and then obviously his form tapered off a little bit. He went to stud, and let's be honest, he was shooting a few blanks at stud, so was brought back to racing, and he's been a really durable horse for Godolphin and quite consistent in the last couple of years of his racing career. So I know how much he means to James Cummings and the entire Godolphin team. So obviously he's beside the scene finish his racing days, but he'll be looked after by Godolphin in their lifetime care program for many, many years to come. So I'm sure there's a few punters that won't be ruining seeing the back of Kevin Tari in his racing days. But yeah, what a great horse he's been in Australian racing for a number of years now.
And the Black Caviar Lightning winner, Coolangatta, who's Royal Ascot bound, of course, has had a jump out.
Yeah, what'd you make of this yesterday, Jared?
Not great.
No, Kieran Maher was fairly underwhelmed with a performance in a jump out yesterday with Cannonball and Artorias. They're obviously the three horses that are booked on a plane to head to Royal Ascot next week. And Kieran's comments I found really pointed, saying that I expected a lot more than that. She was a pretty plain. Ben Allen wasn't happy with her, so they've literally got a week to decide whether she wants to jump, whether they to send her on the plane to Royal Ascot next week. We know how hard it is to travel horses anywhere in Australia, let alone overseas, and she's not going to be at her best. It's a huge risk to go over there. So, yeah, I think watch this space for the next few days because judging by the reaction of Connections, they weren't happy with her jump out yesterday, and I think there might be more news to come on that front in the next week or so.
Thank you, Adam. Have a great day.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy Adelaide.